This week's Torah Way has been sponsored Leilu Nishmas Reb Zeev Ben Reb Doiv, Dr. W. Littlestone, on his first Yahrzeit today. Chof Zayin Sivan, Wednesday the 5th of June, Rabbi David Katz, Talmudic Anthropomorphism.
Yep, what does it mean? We'll discuss in just a moment. When it comes to learning Divrei Agadata, it is a very topical, sensitive issue, as throughout the ages, it's been a big debate. Many times the Jewish people have been put in the lag v'keles by the Goyim, by great philosophers, when they read the stories in the Talmud. For example, the famous stories of Rabbi Bar Barchana, if people are familiar with, where he sees fish the size of an island, where he encounters the Meisei Midbar, etc. And many people who study this say, if this makes no sense, then the whole Gemara makes no sense. And when there were great debates, always these things tended to come up. And the Rambam, in his Akdama to Perek Chelek, which has also a lot of Agadita, Perek Chelek in Sanhedrin is very, a whole Perek Kima is Agadita. So the Rambam writes, actually a whole long discussion, and he says that there's three types of people. He says there's certain people who just take what Chachamim say face value. Tmimus. And he says that's tipshus. He says on the other hand, there's the people who take it and they just make a mockery of it. He says that's even worse. And therefore the Rambam says that there has to be something in between. We need to understand that sometimes Chazal spoke, in the Lashon of the Rambam, Shehu kemashal v'chido, that they spoke in riddles, they spoke in metaphors. So it's not exactly what, obviously there's depth behind what Chazal is saying. There is an idea, but it's hidden behind the simple words. There is a deeper meaning which one needs to explore. The Rasag in Emunis V'deis, chapter 7, he says that one can take three principles to know when a verse in the Torah, when something that seems weird, how do we know if it's a mashal achida? How do we know there's something? How do we know if there's something different? And he says, he gives us three principles. He says, number one, shehu menagid lemetzius, if it defies what we see in our eyes, if it goes against the physical existence. So, for example, when it says in the Torah about Chava, shehi hoisa em kol choy, she was the mother of all living creatures. Does that mean she was the mother of dolphins, of animals? It doesn't mean that, because we see before her, she wasn't. So there is a different meaning. Or, for example, when it goes against logic, the Rasag explains that, for example, when it says in the Torah, Ki Hashem Eikecha, Eish Oichlohu, you can't describe Hashem as fire. It doesn't make any sense. That's what he is. Hashem is fire and finished. There's a deeper meaning to it. Or, he says, a third concept, and that is when we have a different tradition, then also the verses could be interpreted. So for example, when it says in the Torah regarding Malkos, it says, Arboim Yakenu Lo Yosef. We know that we have a tradition for Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not Arboim, it's 39. So these are the three principles, the Chlal he brings on discussing when things are not exactly as the Pshat. And in Tshuvas HaRashba, which he discusses actually the same concept of Agadite and explaining verses different, He expands on this and he says that even when something defies logic, it can still mean it was literally like that. So he says as follows, he gives two other rules. He says that if something could have happened, even if it's a very, very slight chance, then we still say it's kipshutai. Even if the percentage is 1 in 100, it could have been 1 in 100, then it's kipshutai. That's number one. He says also that if it's a nace, we also believe in Nisim. When it says in the Torah that the Reed Sea split, what it means it does was it's a mashal. No, it happened kibshutai. But there has to be a reason for the nace. The reason for the splitting of the Reed Sea was because the Bnei Yisrael were there. Or he says that, for example, the nace was lahagdil esaymuna. So for example, we know that mem shebeluchos, Bnei Yisrael oymed. Because they were cut through from side to side. So how does the middle part of the mem, how does it stand? It's a nace. He says, that also happened kipshutai. Why? Because this was, when they saw this miracle, It was to be to greaten Hashem. And the same thing with the ten lessons that happened in the Beis Hamikdash, which says in Pirkei Avos, also happened. He says, but if something is said and it defies any logic, and the nes is for no reason, and it makes no sense, then we have to say that it's this a deeper meaning. So therefore, any time when there's a midat tivis, which is given to Hashem, and that is today's discussion, this is what anthropomorphisms mean. When somebody tries to give a certain physical attribute to a supernatural, something which is greater than us, usually speaking about Hashem, that is called an anthropomorphism. And this is the aspect of Agadita that I'd like to discuss today. So with this introduction, b'chlal, to understanding Agadita, and especially in this particular issue, we can move forward. So it says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, Omer le hahu minu le Rav Avohu, there was a min who was having a discussion with Rav Avohu, who was very known for his the disputing the heretics' tainus. And the min says to Rav Avohu, Aleikechem koyen hu, your God is a koyen, as it says, Veyikhu li teruma, referring that teruma goes to Hashem. And the min continues, Ki karver le Moshe b'may tovil, when Hashem buried Moshe, he obviously became impure, because when you contact a corpse, you become tummy, as the Torah says. So how did Eibishter go to mikvah? V'chitei mebemaya, and if you're going to tell me that he went in water, v'oksiv mimodat b'sholei mayim, which means that Hashem, he holds all the water in his palm. So how could he go into the mikvah? He's much bigger than any mikvah. So Rabbi Avohu answers the main, Omar lei benura tovil, his mikvah is fire. As it says, Ki hinei Hashem bo'ei shiovoi, Hashem enters in fire. So the min answers back, Umisalke tvilusa benura, is it good enough? Are you allowed to? Is a mikveh in fire okay? Surely mikveh is only good in water. Omar lei answers him, Adraba, ikar tvilusa benurahu, to the contrary, it's even better. The preference is to go in fire. As it says, V'choil asher lo yovoi vo'ei shtaviru b'mayim. Something that you can't, like when it talks about kalim, so something that can't be purified through fire, then you have no choice, you put it in water. So we see from here that it's more preferable to actually do tvila kiviyachil in fire. Up until here is the discussion of Rav Avohu and the min, which is brought in the Gemara, which is a perplexing Gemara. What is going on over here? The Eibishter can be contaminated. The Eibishter contracts tumah. And Rav Avohu doesn't negate it. He doesn't say to the min, Meshugina, the Eibishter can become Tomei. What you're asking me became Tomei, Moshe Rabbeinu. He seems to agree with the min's question. He seems to accept it, and he's proving him, yes, the Eibishter became Tomei, Kiviyachal, and he goes into the fire and he becomes Torah. So what is he talking over here? So the Rambam, Chlal in Hilchos Yisoidei HaTorah, Perek Aleph, Mishneh Tes, he says, regarding specifically this and other areas, expands what we started off, Divrei Torah kelashon bnei Adam. That any time we attribute anything to Hashem, it's because Hashem wants to relate with that to us. We need to understand something. So it speaks in a language that we can, that it's shaykh in our small world. And the Chovos HaLevavos in Shaar Yichud Yud, he expands on this even more, and he says, Sheyekuyem metzias ha-boire b'nafshiseinu. For example, I'm Moshel. If a child sees his father listening to music, his father's a big fan of music, and he says he can't understand why his father's spending so much time listening to music. So he says to his father, what are you doing? What's this you're listening to? Why are you spending so much time? So what's his father going to start explaining to him what a symphony is, what his child understands? He says to him, it's daddy's sweets. For example, so the child understands, oh, this is what gives my daddy pleasure. Does he understand what a symphony means? Does he understand what music is? He has no idea. But at least there's something that he can grapple with. There's something that in his mind, and there's a small connection, although it's they're totally different, but it's something that he can relate to. For example, when we say to a child, you're very sweet, another mushroom, what do we mean? He's sweet like an apple. When we say, this is a sweet apple and this is a sweet child. No, it's just something that one can relate. There's a correlation. There's something which be'erech. So when we say Dibra Torah Kelashim Bnei Adam, so for example, when it comes to Rabbi Nishil Elam, when it says in the Torah, L'chol Hayad HaChazaka, Ki B'yad HaChazaka Yegar Shem Ha'atzim, what does it mean? The Eibishter has a hand. Dibra Torah Kelashim Bnei Adam, we want to show the idea that the Eibishter can extract force. The Eibishter is in control. So we say a hand. Or when it says in the Pasuk, Eini Hashem Alikecha, it's referring to awareness. The Eibishter has eyes, he doesn't have eyes. But Dibra Torah, there is some kind of connection. Just you have to expand it a million times more. There is no physical connection, just an idea. That's what we're saying. That's Bederech Klal. And over here, the same thing he's talking, we'll discuss it later on, how exactly, where does it fit in, how are we expanding over here, the story with the Min. But the Maharsha Al-Asar, he says as follows, he explains this particular Gemara, and he says, the words he says was, Lefita Usay Heishivloi. And what does that mean? In those times, in the time of the Gemara, there was many people who believed that what it says in the Torah, you've got to take it face value. And when the Rambam writes, what is a min? That's why the Gemara says min. It doesn't say apikoros. Apikoros means it doesn't believe in the Torah. A min is somebody who attributes to Hashem physical, who says Hashem can be like he has a hand, and what it says is exactly as it says. So the Maharsha didn't want to start getting into an argument with him. Is it true? Does it mean kipshuta or not kipshuta? Because that, the Maharsha explains, the Rabbi Avoh knew he's not gonna convince him. It was very common. Many people believe that what it says is kipshuta. So I'm not gonna start even getting into that discussion. He said, even afilu leshitascha, that what it says in the Torah is exact, even that I can explain how the Eibishter was matar. That's what the Maharsha explains. But obviously there must be more to this. We can't accept this as there must be an even deeper answer, and we'll get to that. So, in order to understand it, let's look at another Gemara, which also is anthropomorphic, where we discuss that the Eibishter has certain physical middos. And that is a Gemara, a very famous Gemara, Gemara in Brachos, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, famous song Tanya, where the Gemara says, "Minayin Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel." How do we know the Eibishter davens? And the Gemara brings a pasuk, "Shenemar Ba'aviyosim El Arkachi V'Simachti Bebeis Tfilasi." It says, in my house of prayer, it doesn't say Beveish Tfilosom, in your house of prayer. It says that the Eibishter prays Beveish Tfilosi. So the Gemara goes on to ask, my Mispalel, my Matzli, what is the Eibishter daven? Okay, you prove to me from the Pesukim the Eibishter prays. But what does he pray? And the Gemara, Omar Azutu Batavia, Yehirotz Milfonai, Sheikh Bishu Rachma Eskasi, Vyogoylu Rachma Midoisa, Vesnagim Bonai Bemidas Rachmi, Mekanes Laim Lefim Mishur Asadin. That my attributes of mercy should be evoked, and I should go beyond the letter of the law with my children. And the story of Tanya follows with Rabbi Shmuel, who actually gave the Eibishter this precise prayer. Which we need to understand what is going on over here. If we take the principles that we mentioned before, that when it says that the Eibishter has a physical attribute, you need to mafshit it, take it away from its simple meaning, and expand it. When we speak about the concept of prayer, what does prayer mean? Prayer means, when does a person pray? When somebody's lacking something, number one. Number two, you pray because you believe that somebody else or something else can help you in what you're lacking. That's the concept, that's why you pray. You can't solve it, somebody else can solve it. So when we think about this in the bigger picture of prayer, the question is, how you talking? How does this make sense? The Eibishter is lacking something. More than that, is there something that we can solve for the Eibishter that he can't solve himself? How does this work? And another question, which is mamish on the same lines, the Torah tells us in Bereishis at the beginning when Hashem created the world, so the Torah says, "Vayasa leikim mishnei amoros hagdolim, esamor agod lemisheles hayoyim, esamor akot lemisheles halaylo." And the obvious question is, on the beginning it says in the Pasuk, Vayasa Likim Samar Shagdoilim, inferring that there were two luminaries the same size, and then it goes on to say, Maragod and Marakotin, that one was big, one was small. So simple pshat to explain it, it's not a problem. Generally speaking, there were two big luminaries, but when you look in detail, one was bigger than the other. Yet the Gemara suggests a different answer. The Gemara, which is in Chulin, Daf Samach Amud Beis, the Gemara says as follows, Amra Yareach Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono Shel Olam, Efshel Shnei Melachim Shishtamshu BeKeser Echad. How can it be that there's two who are ruling under one crown? You've made me the same size as the sun. What's the point? How can we have two kings? Says the Eibishter, Amar lo lechi umati esatzmeich. Go make yourself smaller. So the Yireach says, Amar lefono, Ribbono shel Olam, hoyil ve'amarti lefonecha dover hagun amit esatzmeich. My complaint was a valid complaint. The Eibishter agrees. He didn't say, it can't happen. The Eibishter seems to accept the Yireach's taina, and never says, so you go make yourself smaller. Why should I suffer? And the Gemara goes on to discuss that the Eibishter told him, Shili Bayoim, and she says, Shage Betira, Maya Hane, and a few of the Gemara, the Eibishter gives the Yireach a few suggestions. Chazia, the Loika, Mitzvah Daita, the Yireach doesn't accept anything. So the Eibishter says, Oh my Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hoviu Kaparo, Elisha, Mi'atati, Esa Yireach. I want you to go bring an atonement, bring a korban, so it should be a kapara for me. V'hayne Domer, Ravshim Melokish. Ravshim Melokish says, Man, Ishtan Esir, Shurash Chodesh, Nehmar, Boila Hashem, the korban which says, V'roshu Hashem, Takriv, korban Ishel Hashem. That this is for Hashem. Why does it say that this particular korban is for Hashem? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Zeh Kapara, Al Shem Yatati Es Hayarech. That this is an atonement, when we bring a korban on Rosh Chodesh, that is to atone for the Eibishter for making the Erech smaller. And again, wow, what a Gemara, what's going on over here? The Eibishter sins. The Eibishter needs a kapara. And why dafkan Rosh Chodesh? What's the Ksir Rosh Chodesh? What is the Gemara getting at? And when we take the general rules which we have, when it comes to anthropomorphisms, which speak about making everything much greater, it definitely doesn't make any sense over here. Because if we say, no, it's not like we said with the Yad, it doesn't mean a small hand, it means all power. What we're going to say, it doesn't mean a small sin, it means a massive sin. You know, there's like the story where there was a guy who was learning to be a shadchan. He was an apprentice to the shadchan. And the shadchan says to him, look, I'll show you, teach you the trade. We go to speak to somebody, and you need to exaggerate. So he says, to the shadchan says, come, I'll train you in. I'm going to talk to a person. Everything I say, you need to exaggerate. So they walk into a guy, and the shadchan says, look, I've got a bacha for your daughter, unbelievable. So the shadchan, this apprentice jumps in. He says, unbelievable. He's amazing. He's the best guy in town. So the father says, Rata Bisselgel. So the shadchan says, yeah, a bit. The apprentice jumps in. He says, a bit. The guy owns all the banks in town. So and then they go, everything the shadchan says, he exaggerates. The shadchan, so the father says, tell me, is he healthy? So the shadchan says, yeah, he's fit. He says, fit. He's as strong as an ox. He's the most powerful guy in town. So the father's looking, he thinks this is impossible. So the shadchan realizes he's got to quickly make things, you know, he's still a human being. So the shadchan says, yeah, but he's got a small thing, he limps. So the apprentice jumps in and says, he limps. When he walks, his ears touch the ground. Sometimes exaggerating can cause the opposite effect. So in our case, what are we saying? How do we take this story and say, it's much greater than what you think? It would work the exact opposite. We'd be shooting ourselves in the foot, the Mizog. So the answer to this is as follows. As we said, that the Rambam writes, that when the Gemara talks about these stories, which seem to define any logic, Shehukim Mashal V'chido, and the Maisa, the Chachamim, when they say this story from Chulin, and the others, which we'll see right now, they were coding the most deep concepts, the greatest answers to the deepest questions. And one of the big questions which people ask themselves is, what's my tachlis in the world? What's the reason? And this, as we'll see right now, is what was going on. And the mashal over here of this the moon and the Eibishter is referring to the Bnei Yisrael, to the physical world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The sun in the Nimshel is Hashem. The moon in the Nimshel is us, the world, particularly the Jewish people. And it fits also in the Nimshel because the sun is the source of light and the moon is only a reflection. The same thing, the Eibishter is the source of all energy of everything in this world, and we're just a reflection. We get everything we have is from him. Before the Eibishter created the world, it says in Chassidus, what was there? Chassidus expands on this, and we have very short in time, we're almost in the Kudus for Indian. It says in Chassidus, there was nothing but the Eibishter. The light of Hashem was everywhere. But the Eibishter, it says, Nis'ava Kadosh Baruch Hu Lius Lira Dira V'Tachtonin, the Eibishter wanted, aspired to have a place where he could call home. A place where he can have a relationship with human beings, where they can be Torah, they can be mitzvahs, they can be something that he can have a place, a relationship with us. As it says in the Torah, tira, fear, love, pasha, a full relationship. So he created the world. He made the place in the world, in this massive space, where there is something external, kaviyachal of Hashem. Yet at the beginning, when Hashem created the world, the light of Hashem was so powerful in the world, that Hashem was felt overwhelmingly. There was no metzius really of anybody else, like kiviyachru the malachim, the angels that are different from Hashem, the external from Hashem, yet they feel the power of Hashem so strongly, they can't deviate one iota from what Hashem wants, because they feel Him all the time. And that's how it was in the world. And this is the first time that when the Yireach, as it says at the beginning, the Yireach was the same size of the sun, I saying that it felt, it had the same power, the Eibishter was all through. So the world says to the Eibishter, what's the point? Saying, what's the idea of you creating such a world? Yes, kiviyochel you created, you wanted a relationship, but I'm totally overpowered by you. I don't have any own identity of myself. What's the whole concept of you creating this world? I don't have a choice, this way or the other. It's like if you're in a room with somebody who is a great person, the biggest tzaddik of the generation, a big king, you're sitting in the same room as him. Is it possible that you're going to say something contrary to what he suggests? You wouldn't even dare of it. It doesn't even come to enter your mind. So this is what the Muni is saying. What's the tachlis of such a world? If Hashem is felt so powerfully in the world, what's the difference before than it was before to now? So the Rebbeinu Shalom says, you're right. Lech yumati setzmech. I say that in this world there should be a tzimtzum. The Eibishter won't be felt. Now that the Eibishter won't be felt, that's what allows for a person to feel self-conscious, self-awareness. I exist. I'm a metzius. But then what does the Yireach come and says? Ha'ilva martile folecha davar hagun. Because I said something good, so now look, something worse has even happened. Because the fact that now we feel independence, there is a possibility to sin. And it says in Chassidus that the only reason why Adam Rishon was able to sin was because this concept of the Yireach shrinking, the tzimtzum of Hashem. Adam Rishon, in Gan Eden, why? Because of this. So the Yireach asks the world in the Nimshel, is saying, so now it's become worse than what it was before. Before there was no independence, there was no tachlis. Okay, but at least we couldn't sin against Hashem. Now we have a situation where because we don't feel Hashem in the world, because the light has been contracted, concealed, then there's a possibility to sin, there's a possibility to do wrong. So it's even worse than it was before. So what does the Rebbeinu Shalom answer? The Rebbeinu Shalom answer says, my hands are tied. I can't do anything about this. Because if I make my light back again, which is so powerful, then we're back to stage number one. We haven't solved anything. Then your original complaint would be right. So what's the solution? It's in your hands. You need to go and discover Hashem within this world. The relationship needs to work both ways. The Eibishter wants a relationship with us, but the relationship can't be if you overpower something, so you have to have a relationship with me. If Hashem is so powerful that you feel Him 100%, you don't have a choice in the matter. The Eibishter wants you to discover Him, and you love Hashem even with Him being concealed. Because you come to the conclusion that you also want this relationship. That's the tachlis of us being in this world. And now the words in the text make sense. The Eibishter says, Hovi olai kapora. Says the Maharal, Chidush HaGadol Maharal, in Shavuos test, he says as follows. He says, Rabim temehim, many people, they say, what? The Eibishter needs kapara. Because most times when we say the word kapara, it comes in the context of chet. So we think, what, the Eibishter sinned? But the Maharal says, vein ze shaych etzel Hashem. So what is kapara in this context? He says, ki kol hasara v'siluk nikra kapara. Cleaning up, bringing a situation to clarity is also called kapara, nothing to do with sin. Like kaparas chait dafka. So what it says, Masha Amar Avil Korban, who siluk v'tarem es tlunas ha-yareach. What the Maharal explains, he says, the taina of the yareach, hey, what's the point? The Eibishter says, Avil like kapara, you can clean up this question. How? By you establishing a relationship with me. That's what it says, Avil like kapara. You, it's up to you now. I can't do anything. I am in a situation that my hands are tied. And that's also the lashon when it says of you, carbon. What is a carbon? So in the Chiddush HaGadol, he also explains this word. He goes into great detail saying that Bnei Adam Shelo Yodei Torah Choshim Ki Adam Choite V'Chiv HaTorah Lo Bi Carbon. He says many people think that carbon is bribing Hashem. I've done a sin, okay, I'll give you a carbon. He says, no, Chas V'Shalom, the Eibishter needs bribes. He says, the carbon is for you. And that's the Lashon of carbon, Milashon Kiruv, to come close. So when it says, the Eibishter says, Avi a carbon, it should be a kapara, the Eibishter is saying, you choose to come close to me, and that will be a kapara that will clear up the tiny that the Yoreich had. That's the discussion over there, in the Nimshel. So what turns out from here is an amazing thing. That the Eibishter, Pirtzoinoi, has created a situation where he can't do something. He needs us to choose to have a relationship with him. So when we asked about the Gemara and Brachas, which we said, what, the Eibishter needs something, he praised us, we can do something he can't do. It becomes very clear now, yes, 100%. The Eibishter can't choose for us that we should have a relationship with him. And that's something that he prays, that should be our rotzen. That's what it's saying. Sheikh b'sharachamecha, sharachma is kazal, that we should choose to have a relationship with Hashem, and therefore the Eibishter will behave to us and reciprocate in kindness, because there's a relationship. And as it says in Tzion Nefesh Chaya, in the Gemara Brachas, which is from the Rebbe Cheskel Lamed, who was a Rav in Prague, he says as follows, Nemiki v'yochol u'mispalel. He says, this is the idea, the Eibishter prays, and that's what it means, the based philosophy. Yes, the Eibishter, what do you mean based philosophy? What is my prayer? My prayer is that you guys should want to have a relationship with me. Based on this, we can now go back to the original story that we started, and that is the question with the min of Rabbi Avoh. Time is over, so just mamash benekuda. The Rebbe explains, based on what we've learnt over here, that this was also a very deep discussion between the Min and Rabbi Avoh. When the Min said that lekeichem koyenhu, what was he saying? As we said, that when the Eibishter has a physical attribute, you need to take it from the pshat and understand it in the bit broader picture. So when he was saying the Eibishter is a koyen, he's referring koyenish chesed. The Eibishter gives us. Unconditioned, that's the whole concept of chesed, which is what the Eibishter was at the beginning, he gives his light. But then he says, we see the chur, there's a matzah that the Eibishter can become impure, tumah. What is the concept of tumah again in the global meaning? When a person becomes tumah, it means that he's affected by his surrounding. Something around him has affected him. So he was saying to Rabbi Avoh, is it possible that something can affect the Eibishter lechur? It seems yes. Because if we choose not to have a relationship with Hashem, that has an effect on Hashem. So there can't be such a situation. How do we rectify it? And that's what he was saying to him, that there's two ways. There's Mayim and there's Eish. Mayim alludes to coldness, alludes to what we call Seichel. Cold Seichel, when a person's relationship with Hashem is based on only his understanding, then yes, there can be a situation where there's a tumah, there's a distance between a man and Hashem. But the idea of fire is passion, is excitement. And he was saying to him, there will come a time, because there will be no tumah, there will be no option for us to go against Hashem, and our relationship with Hashem will be a fiery passion, it will be the most amazing relationship. That's his answer, saying, taka, now, in this time, when there is a matzav of chisarana yamir tayareach, then yes, they can, because we can't see the light of Hashem, there is a matzav that there can be a distance. But when Mashiach will come, by all of us doing our small bit, then there will be no option. It will be like the relationship will be like a fire. So we'll conclude with the bracha that we all sing on Matzah Shabbos, where we do Kiddush HaChodesh. Yirotzim v'necho. There will come a time. What's our prayer? We're actually saying that there will come once. The moon will become bigger. That's what we're praying. That's what we care about. We're praying that there will come a time. It'll be like before, that the light of Eibishter will be murgash, felt in this whole world, and our relationship will be stored to the ultimate relationship, but it will come from us this time. May it happen speedily in our days.